Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. If you want to join us on the internet, you can go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues and watch the show there, Today's Issues on American Family Radio and on YouTube and Facebook. Now, Steve Jordahl joins us now.
Good day. You know who that was, right?
Did you have a good weekend, Steve?
Yeah, it was good. It was a good weekend. Got some NASCAR in.
Did you get to go to church?
I did. Went to church, 8 o'clock Sunday morning. We're having two services now.
Awesome.
Socially distanced.
You and my dad go to the same church,
yeah,
right?
We do. I think you go at 10:30 probably.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah, yeah. I'm going early.
Most churches are having social distancing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or virtual.
We've been having services.
Or you watch it on Facebook,
right,
or somewhere.
We've been having services, and I've been enjoying it. It's just good to get out.
I know. To be back with brothers and sisters in Christ.
Mm-hmm. So, NASCAR, do they have a race this weekend?
They had two. Six, I think. Actually,
they're playing catch-up, aren't they?
This weekend, they had two races at Pocono, which is in the Pennsylvania, Long Pond, Pennsylvania. But they actually had scheduled these two races Saturday and Sunday before this whole COVID thing came about. So they are catching
up. They're still racing without fans, right?
They had fans at one. They had fans at Talladega. They invited about 1,000 fans to go to Talladega, but so far nowhere else fans. No fans. Yeah.
Yeah. The PGA, Professional Golfers Tour, they're having their tour, but no fans. Are they going to have is football? What's the latest on college and professional football?
I know baseball announced that they were coming back. I haven't heard about the
NFL. Baseball's having a shortened season, but
and some weird rules changes too. If I understand correctly, you see football. I don't think it really is supposed to start. I know they've missed like a little bit of the preseason. They probably were already supposed to have had, or soon will have, the Hall of Fame game. That kind of stuff is going to be gone. But they don't have to make
getting,
a decision.
You're getting late in the. She used the pun. You're getting late in the ball game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For fall sports,
right,
to announce what they're going to do. Because you have to sell
tickets.
And
they're already sold. Like, I have tickets to Mississippi State football. And, you know.
You already paid for them?
Haven't paid for them yet, but they've been ordered and assigned. So, but yeah, if they don't, I told my wife, if they don't have games, or they have games and they, you know, it's first come, first serve, then I'm not paying for tickets that I can't know I have a seat, where I can't know I have a seat. So, yeah, that's going to
– you pay for a reserve seat.
Correct.
At the ball game, and you're saying you haven't heard back from the school yet on what they're going
to
do?
Well, I mean, I'm assuming the season's going to continue as planned, but yet I don't know with the way they're talking.
The NFL is they're still talking about signing different players. I know that Cam Newton signed 1 year with New England now that Brady's gone, and so people are talking about, you know, Brady's working out with his receivers.
But are they going to let fans in the stadium? That's my question.
Yeah, I haven't heard.
See, that's the thing is if it's and I'm not saying I fall down on one side or the other. I think we probably should have a football season with fans, but that's my opinion. But the way the doctors and the governors and the mayors are talking now, football season's only like 5 or 6 weeks away,
yeah,
mid to late August. I don't know how we can put 60,000 people.
I got a novel idea.
In a stadium.
Why don't we just let people choose whether they want to go or not?
Wow.
That sounds like America. How dare you?
Huh? I mean,
personal responsibility.
We are going to have to get to that point. Otherwise, you're going to go toward the you're trending, if you go the other way, toward more control by the government of your private and personal choices in life.
Right.
Now, a lot of people say, well, that's exactly the point. That's what they want to do with this virus, is, in the name of public health, continue to dominate people's lives with, you can and can't do this, you can't go here, you can't go there. I'm just saying, I think we've reached a point where enough people, the whole public is aware of COVID-19. By the way, Did you tell me half the deaths are in nursing homes or assisted living in the country? Is that what the stats show?
As of about 3 or 4 weeks ago, there was over 50,000 deaths in long-term care facilities across the country.
So either nursing homes where people, you go into a nursing home, you're on your last leg, so to speak. That sounds terrible, but I mean, that's, we all know that you go into a nursing home.
Yeah, you're vulnerable.
You're there for a reason. You're there for a reason. Your life, and then you got assisted living. But you're saying these are mostly made up of people, what, 80 and up, 75 and up?
Yeah.
Okay, my point is, I'm digressing here a little, but that's rare for me. is that when you factor in the COVID-19 numbers, Steve, what I'm about to say is easily misunderstood is I don't care about elderly people.
Right.
And that is not fair because I do and we do and Christians among above everybody should care about the weak and the infirmed and the elderly.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not fair. But if you want to look at raw data or numbers or science, as they call it, so that you can make public policy decisions, I think you need to take the deaths in nursing homes and assisted living out of the equation. Okay,
right. Have special rules set up for how you deal with those masks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because these are the most vulnerable people. But if you take that out of the equation. To me, you can say, well, what is the death rate really, if you don't include nursing homes, is almost, you're saying 40 to 50.
Yeah, the New York Times put this out. Now, this was a month ago. This was the beginning of May, so almost, no, this was a month and a half ago. But as of May 11th, 2020, 6 weeks ago, there was 46,000 deaths from nursing home, either residents or workers. Almost 50,000.
So the percentage of deaths in America by COVID-19...
40% are in nursing homes.
40% are in nursing homes.
Yes.
People are starting to notice, too, and they're getting frustrated. I wanted to play a little bit of a clip. This is
what are they getting frustrated about?
They're getting frustrated about being told one thing about masks, about having to wear them when it doesn't seem that they should, about conflicting messages. You get, we have sound of Fauci saying, you don't need to wear masks. And then it comes out that he was only saying that so that he could save masks for healthcare workers.
Right.
But this is in Ventura County, they apparently have a public health officer named Dr. Robert Levin. Don't know the man, never. But apparently he's been giving some contradictory guidelines as to whether or not you should wear masks. And one talk show host...
Who is he now again?
He is the Ventura County Public Health Officer.
California?
In Ventura County, California. His name is Dr. Robert Levin. A reporter down there named John Ziegler went before the Ventura County Board of Supervisors and read them the Riot Act. Listen to Cut 9.
This board is pretending that for the last 3 months, your emperor, Dr. Levin, has not been against a mask declaration. He has been wrong about everything. He is the one who told us we would have 400 to 600 hospitalizations a day. We're barely over 200 for the entire ordeal that you guys have put us through. We now are panicked over 51 total hospitalizations in a county with 8 hospitals. Can you people do math? Can you please do basic math and understand where we are on this? This is not a crisis. You, however, have created one. You, in an effort to try to prevent all death, when we've had 43 deaths, have now ended all relevant life. And you should all be ashamed of yourselves. And this will never be forgotten. Ever be forgotten. You will all be held accountable eventually, in this life or the next.
Yeah. A little upset.
Amen, brother. He needs to do a speaking tour.
High five, because that's the way many people feel all over the country. He's expressing, again, who was that and where was he from?
His name is, where do I have it here? Oh, it's on the second page. His name is John Ziegler. He's a talk show host in Southern California out of Ventura County. Ventura is north of Los Angeles.
Did you bring any clips of Fauci and the Surgeon General?
I did. Yeah.
Set this up and let's play it. Please.
Well, okay. So Dr. Fauci back in May was asked about wearing masks. He's kind of in May or March. According to the notes I had, this was played this morning on Sandy's show. It said May, but it could be March. I know it was early. I think it was early on in this thing. Fauci said, masks? No, we don't need no stinking masks.
I think it was May.
Anyway, this is Anthony Fauci, cut 8.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet. But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask, and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course. But when you think masks, you should think of healthcare providers needing them and people who are ill.
Boom. Yeah. That's interesting.
Can I tell you guys something? I saw him interview subsequent to this, and he was asked about what he just said right there. Now, the timeline is important, I think. Are you saying...
I'll look it up because...
Well, I don't know how important it is, but...
It really is not.
Okay, it's not important. Okay, you're right.
But I'm a reporter, and facts are kind of sticky.
Did he lie in March or did he lie in May?
Right.
Well, what he said was, a couple weeks ago, he basically said... He said what we just heard because he didn't want the American public to go out and buy a face mask because he wanted to have them for the public health officials.
You know how condescending it is that you can't just tell people that you have to lie to them about it?
And the Surgeon General did the same thing, Jerome Adams. He admitted to the same thing.
I mean, basically they're saying they lied.
On purpose, so we could save masks for the healthcare workers.
No.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't say that now. First of all, I believe what he just said. Right. I believe his real thoughts on face masks, Dr. Fauci,
That's right.
Exactly. Didn't he make sense? Is that reasonable?
Yeah, and he said that multiple times when this first began. He's repeated that masks don't
work. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot say what he just said, which is a terrible misleading of the public if, in fact, masks do work so greatly. By the way, Allison, my wife, the other day said, listen, if masks work so wonderfully, just give those to the prisoners instead of letting them out.
Boom. Good point.
Because they're...
And reopen everything.
You shelter in place in the prison cell, and you have a face mask. Boom. You don't get it.
Right.
There's no way.
Yeah.
But anyway.
The interview was from March of 2020, at least one of the interviews that he did where he
March
said,
2020.
March of 2020. Yeah.
So that was early on.
Right.
And Dr. Fauci's saying a face mask.
Because you can't trust the American people with real knowledge to say, well, yeah, I'm not going to buy a bunch of masks and hoard it. Because you know the American people have no self-control. They, of course, will. So you have to lie to them, according to Fauci.
Let me ask you guys.
Come on.
Let me ask you guys something else about this. This is just something I've thought about, and I've heard other people mention this, and I don't want to dwell on this. And you're wondering, what is it you don't want to dwell on? Get to the point, Tim. I am. Is it just me, or does it bother anybody else having everybody in face mask for weeks and months on end? Is that... seems like you're living in a sci-fi movie or something like
that. Yeah, and
it makes people impersonal. I don't know.
It does. Yeah.
It's odd that it's also falling along political lines. You see, Joe Biden, when he goes on television for whatever reason, he always wears a mask until he gets right in front of the microphone, then consciously takes it off, usually leaves it hanging from one ear while he talks, and then specifically puts it back on before he walks away from the microphone. Signaling whatever he's signaling.
Well, Biden says he's going to, if he's president, he's going to make everybody wear a mask.
I have that. You want to listen to what he had to say?
Yes, I do. Well, listen to this.
Yeah,
the fact that he thinks he can do this is astonishing.
This is cut 6.
I would go back to making sure that everybody had masks, that you had PPE lined up. We have been making sure we stockpile all the things that we need that we don't have now. The one thing we do know, these masks make a gigantic difference. I would insist that everybody on public be wearing that mask. Anyone to reopen would have to make sure that they walked into a business that had masks.
Couldn't you use your federal leverage to mandate that, though?
Yes.
And you would you?
Yes, I would, from an executive standpoint. Yes, I would.
So you would, in effect, mandate the wearing of masks?
I would do everything in my possible to make it required that people had to wear masks in public.
That's yeah. Joe Biden right there.
I think there's two aspects of this that are concerning some people, to your point. I think, number one, the government forcing you to wear any type of, whether it be a T-shirt, a mask, a hat, whatever.
Or by insurance.
Yeah, yeah. but for the government forcing you to wear something on your person, mm-hmm. that is very invasive from a constitutional standpoint. Number two, the not being able to see someone smile or recognize, hey, John, my neighbor, instead of being able to recognize people, all you see is everybody with a mask on. So you don't know who they are. You could be in the grocery store with somebody you go to church with, and you wouldn't know it
because everybody's got a mask on. That bothers me. I don't think I need help for it.
Also,
yet, but that bothers me psychologically. It really does.
Yeah? I think it bothers children too. If you're talking about going back to school and all the teachers have masks on, that's the first thing when kids get to school is they see their teacher's smile on their face and they say, "Hey, little Johnny," or
right,
whatever the
right.
name is. And
talking behind a mask.
Talking behind a mask.
I have a hard time understanding a lot of people.
And a face shield. I mean, kids are going to be terrified to go back into public and to school to have everybody covered up in face mask. There is something psychologically with it.
Yeah. I don't want to see my president in a face mask.
No.
Do you?
No, to me that's a sign of fear.
Yes.
And capitulation to see the
President
commander
Trump
in
is,
chief.
President Trump is social distanced from everybody, and if he gets it, he gets it.
Right.
To wear a mask. The liberal media want him to wear a mask everywhere and speak behind a mask everywhere.
Yeah.
I think the liberal media and the Democrats would like this thing to last
there
through
is,
November.
There's this.
By the way, if Biden wants to be true to his word, he needs to keep the face mask on when he speaks.
That's right.
Don't be taking it off when you're then projecting.
COVID.
You're then projecting out your
droplet
particles or whatever.
Yeah. The mask droplets. Requirement is going to magically go away if they win in November.
Yeah. I've heard that before.
Yeah.
But
there is, I think, behind all of this for Democrats, there is this
behind the mask. You like that pun?
I do.
That's pretty good,
yeah.
But behind a lot of these mandates and this government overreach, in my opinion, is this idea that the government can make everything perfect. The government can
right.
make everybody safe. If you just follow what the government says, whether it be Obamacare or forcing people to wear a mask or nobody going to church, just do what the government says and everybody's going to be well off and we'll take care of you and we'll send you a check. I think that mentality is what the Democrats have been pushing. And
Dr. Fauci is the end-all, be-all for the liberals, right? What he says is, and listen, I don't mean to disrespect the man's career. He spent his life in dealing
public
with
medicine,
him.
Right?
Huh?
In yeah. public medicine.
Public mm-hmm. health and infectious diseases. I mean, he is an expert in his field.
Yes.
And there's no denying that.
Yes.
Okay. Now, what his politics are and how that influences what he says, people can be the judge of that. But we just played Dr. Fauci in March talking about masks, and what he said repudiates everything that we're being told that we're supposed to do now by the, quote, public health officials by wearing masks. So the question then began, which is it? Will the real Dr. Fauci please stand up?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Huh?
Yeah.
So when they throw this, if you don't wear a face mask, you don't care about people, and you say, well, Dr. Fauci, I guess, doesn't care about people because he's saying it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So I'm following the science.
Right.
Right? So,
and to your point earlier, I think what he said in March is what he probably believes down in his gut.
Yes,
because he's been practicing medicine, to your point, for 40-plus years, I think since the Reagan administration, and he's been over NIH since the 80s, I think, 70s or 80s.
Yes. So if you're, it's common sense, if you're going to be in close proximity to somebody or group of people, by that I mean within 3 feet of them, for an extended period of time, and by extended I mean probably over 30 minutes or so, then you need to wear, then it probably is beneficial, it puts another layer of protection between you and other people, to wear a face mask. Again, I mentioned this before, that's why when I go into the dentist office and my dentist works on my teeth, which is what dentists do, then he puts on a face mask.
But you don't, and obviously.
And his assistant does.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And then when they get through with your dental work, they take off their mask and they speak to you about what's going on, and then they shake your hand or say hello or say goodbye. Mm-hmm. So, and so people on, if you're in that setting that I've just described, it makes sense to wear a face mask. But just in everyday life, walking around, going out, going here or there, pumping gas at the gas station, going into Walmart or wherever to buy something, as long as you maintain social distance, you don't have to wear a face mask. It doesn't serve any purpose.
Right.
And that debate and discussion goes on. But Dr. Fauci himself said face masks
don't work to stop the
spread.
That's
what he just said.
They don't work.
We heard from March. So you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve, next story.
The Simpsons, that animated show that's been on forever, is deciding that it is no longer going to use white actors to do black voices or characters on the show.
I didn't know they did.
Yes, apparently Hank Azaria and Harry Shearer and Carl Carson are currently voiced.
What does that have to do with Aunt Jemima?
Well, it has to do with, I don't know if it has anything to do with that, but it has to do with virtue signaling from the creators of The Simpsons. By the way, our own Chad Groening is a cousin of the person who, Matt Groening, who is creator of The Simpsons.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he is. But
their politics are probably different.
180 degrees different, believe me. But yeah, they're saying, oh, none of our white actors are going to ever do black voices ever again.
That's just ridiculous. But anyway, that's what they wanted. That's their choice. Did you see where Aunt Jemima? You know, they're removing Aunt Jemima from the syrup. I don't know who makes that. But anyway. The ancestor of the real Aunt Jemima in Texas, somewhere in Texas, she's speaking out. She herself, an African American, is speaking out and says, don't do this. Please don't do this because you're my, I don't know if it was a great great grandmother or whatever, is remembered for this. And they even got a sign that going into the town about how this is the, you know, to remember this woman who this was based on. I don't have all the details of that exactly, but that's what she was saying.
Yeah.
And I got another good pun. Y'all ready for this one? This whitewashing of America.
Indeed. Yeah.
Now, if you're going to use that, people, you need to give me credit for it, because I came up with that just right here and now. Huh?
Yeah.
Duly noted.
This whitewashing of America is getting completely and totally out of hand. And in fact, the founder of the Black Entertainment Television Network said the other day, all this stuff that white people are doing now to cleanse themselves of the sins of their ancestors is getting crazy.
Yeah.
And black people, most black people don't give a rip.
Right.
About changing Aunt Jemima.
Right.
Okay. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, folks. Have a great day. Keep listening to AFR.